Father, as always, we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. As we look into the perfect law of liberty this morning and hear from the Spirit of God, let that light shine in our hearts. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's hear the voice of the Spirit this morning, because he's saying, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And we've heard that before. But I want to tell you today also that greatness is from the Lord. Greatness is from the Lord. I pray this morning that my doctrine would drop down as the dew from heaven. Praise the Lord. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. O earth, hear the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, even as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Now, a subtitle for this will be, greatness is from the Lord. Now, the Lord is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 4. Greatness is from the Lord, and it is not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, there are several scriptures that bear this out, that we are well familiar with, such as Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, where it says, well, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. But what is it that is not by might nor by power? And that's the thing that we want to look at today. You know, so, you know, when the Lord said, the word of the Lord that came to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. You know, so what is the mountain? You know, remember a week or two ago, we talked about the mountains and valleys. What is your great mountain? Everybody has, in different seasons, I mean, some mountain. You know, what is that great mountain for you? I mean, the Lord's done everything else, but there's some great mountain that appears to be insurmountable. And the Lord said, who art thou? Now, God's speaking directly to that mountain now. You know, the Lord's going to bring it forth. And there's something called the headstone too. I mean, Jesus is the cornerstone, chief cornerstone, bringing grace to you in whatever situation you are in. Now, listen to this. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. And thou shalt know the Lord God of hosts has sent me unto you. Now, for who has despised the day of small things? The day of small things? You know, what does that mean? Well, you know, there is a reason why people despise the day of small things. Because sometimes we're looking in other directions, you know. We're looking for how we think the Lord is going to do it, you know, but that may not be the way that the Lord is going to do it. So when the Lord gives, you know, a, you know, when the Lord gives a way, we may sometimes despise it. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 5. You know, there's a man, you know, that was called a mighty man of valor. He was the captain of hosts for the king of Syria. And his name was Naaman. Some of you might know his story. I mean, he was mighty, you know, in battle and everything. But unfortunately, he was a leper. You know, but fast forward the story. One day when it came to Elisha, you know, to be healed, he thought a different way, actually. You know, I mean, Elisha just said something to him, and he was furious, you know, and he said, look, are there not even, I mean, the rivers of Syria, are they not better than this Jordan? Why should I go in that Jordan and go and be healed? Could I not wash in the rivers of Syria and be healed? He was wrath, and he went away angry. Why? Because the man of God did not even come out of the house. He just sent a word to him and said, well, you know, just go and wash 7 times in Jordan. Your flesh will come again. And he was angry, you know. And but his servants came near and told him, and said, look, you know, if the prophet had said some mighty thing to you, would you not have done it? But because he said some small thing to you, now you despise it. Well, that's despising the day of small things. You know, and God can do things small or great, makes the Lord no difference at all. And he said, well, I thought the man would have come out here, call upon the name of his God, strike his hand over my head and recover the leprosy and so on. You know, well, that's what you thought. But, you know, the Lord didn't choose to do it that way. And so he didn't want to do it. But thank God that he listened and he was entreated by his servants that, look, the man is not asking you to bring 1,000 shekels of silver or anything. All he asks you is just go and walk deep in the river. And why are you angry? Just because he asks you to do something small. You know, so let us not despise the day of small things. It may look small in our eyes, but it may be big in the eyes of the Lord. Remember, in Job chapter 8 and verse 7, the Lord said that though thy beginnings were small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. So the thing that starts out small sometimes, which we may despise, you know, because it starts out small or it doesn't look like what we were expecting, might actually become something great at the end. Now, the Lord told a parable in Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. He said, look, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is like, you know, a grain of mustard seed. I mean, it's really small, you know, and in fact, it is despised because it's such a small thing, you know, and the least of all the seeds. And so when you look at it, it's a tiny thing. It can be easily despised. But the Lord said, when you sow it, when it is grown, it becomes the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge the branches in it. But it started out like something small. I mean, something that could be easily despised. Didn't quite look like, you know, what we thought it might be. And there are many things like that, many stories or lessons like that in the Bible. You know, I'm combining this two lessons here that I'm trying to bring out today. One is the thought that, you know, the greatness will come from the Lord, and I will get to that in a minute. The other is that, you know, we should not think that it's going to be this way or that way. You know, it's going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not going to be by what we think. And in the hands of the Lord, something small can become actually something really great. I mean, there's a story in Matthew chapter 14, in verses 14 through about 21. There was a story of thousands of people that needed to be fed. And there was really nothing to feed them with except one small boy's sack lunch that his mother had packed for him. And so when the boy gave up his lunch, and the disciples said, "Look, what is this among so many?" But the Lord said, "Well, it is enough." I mean, we can despise. There's a lot of things that we despise. But I want you to bear in mind today, this is just a reminder that it's not always what you think. And it's not always by numbers or by strength and so forth. You know, what the Lord does, he will do. He can take five loaves and two fishes, or two loaves and five fishes, whichever one it is. And just small enough to feed, a small boy for maybe two or three meals through the day before he returns home. That's all it was. How in the world are you going to use that to feed thousands? Even the disciples said, "Well, what is that among so many?" But the Lord said, "It is enough." See, because in his hands, a little, can become a lot. And that's the way that God works. He wants us to not look into within us, a thing that all we can do, the resources that you have, or the abilities that you have, or the strength that you have. Now, one time, going back to the book of Genesis, and let's compare two stories. In Genesis 11, versus Genesis 12. In Genesis 11, the first 9 verses, the whole group of people that were there at the time gathered together and they said, "We will make ourselves a name. We're going to be great. We will build a tower to reach to heaven, and establish this thing as so people can see from miles around. And we'll put our name on it. And establish ourselves a name, and we will be great." Well, that's what they thought, and they began to, gather together momentum to build that thing. But the Lord looked at it, and he was going to show them a lesson that true greatness is from the Lord. you may want to build your nest into the stars and wherever. The Lord said, "From thence, I will even cast it down." So the Lord looked at them and said, "Look, I am going to scatter these people." Well, there are many reasons, but one salient reason that is hidden is the fact that they did not ascribe the greatness to the Lord. And they wanted to be great on their own accord and say, "Well, we could do this, and we can do that. And we can build our nest to the stars." And Obadiah chapter 1 verse 4. Actually, just one chapter in that book. Obadiah 1:4 says, "Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, from thence will I bring you down, saith the Lord." So when people exalt themselves and they think, "Well, we got to do it by ourselves," the Lord said, "No. I'm going to bring you down." But then he turned around, and then in chapter 12 of Genesis, verses 1 to 3, he looked at a man called Abram, who wasn't trying to do anything, who wasn't trying to be great or anything. I mean, he was just minding his business. Actually, he lived among heathen. They were all heathen at the time. They didn't know the Lord, and the Lord handpicked him that this is the man that I'm going to make great. Now, the people that were trying to be great, the Lord said no. This one that wasn't trying to do anything, the Lord said yes. "You will be the one. I will make you great. Praise the Lord." Now, that's a lesson for every one of us today. Number one, it's not by might. It's not by power. is by the Spirit of the Lord, and greatness is from the Lord. Here's what the Lord said to Abraham after he scattered the others at the Tower of Babel in the previous chapter. So now in chapter 12 of Genesis, now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and out of thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, this wasn't anything Abraham was praying about. He was just, he hardly even knew the Lord at that time, you know, but God handpicked him, not because he was trying to build any name to himself or try to build a tower to heaven. He was just an ordinary, normal person. But the Lord had something planned for him. Hallelujah. So the lesson there is true greatness is from the Lord, you know, and all the power and everything else is really, really belongs to the Lord. And he can give it to whomsoever he wills. I mean, you know the story of Daniel. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, wherein he thought that, look, I have done all of these things by my power, you know, and the great for the excellency of my brightness and the greatness of my kingdom and so forth. I have done these things by the strength of my might. And he walked and he strutted his stuff throughout that palace. And he was really proud of his achievements, you know, all the things that he had done. And of a truth, he had done some tremendous things. I mean, he was, even God called him a king of kings. You know, he ruled all the kingdoms of the world at the time. His kingdom was head above all. And he built those so-called hanging gardens of, Babylon and so forth. I mean, he had done some really great stuff. There was none like him. You know, Bible called him the head of gold, and that there was nothing like him. And so, you know, he had reasons to think that, I mean, he was really that great, you know, and he thought he was all that. Well, and, you know, in the sight of men, maybe he was all that. But in the sight of God, the Lord said, look, this matter is by the decree of the watchers, you know, and by the demand of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And he can even set over it the basest of men. That's right. The Lord can do it. So just because you became king doesn't mean that, you know, that you are, you know, in right standing with God. God can put the basest of men over there. He can do it too. He can do all these things. You know, and then you know the rest, of the story with Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he went through the length and breadth of his kingdom, admiring all the things that he had done. And he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? In fact, the Lord had warned him, you know, by a message from Daniel before all of that, you know, but instead of, Daniel said to me, look, break up your sins, you know, by tranquility. I mean, lengthening your tranquility, break off your sins by doing righteousness. Maybe it will be a lengthening of their tranquility. Do this, do that, do this, do the other. Well, he really didn't listen. After a while, he said, look, there's really nothing. Nobody can put me down, you know, because Daniel said, look, the decree came from the demand of the holy ones. And you'll be cut down. And, so he wasn't cut down. Maybe a month goes by. Who knows? Maybe a couple months. I don't know how long. You know, so he went, you know, about and said, look, cut down. I'm the greatest. You know, look at me. Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power? You can read all of that in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. And he said, have I not done this for the honor of my majesty? I mean, are this not the work of my hands? And is this not greatness that I have achieved? Who's going to cut me down? while the word was yet in his mouth. That's right. The Lord put that story there to let us know that, look, greatness is from the Lord and never from you. God may allow you to be great and do great things in life, but it's all from the Lord. And of course, you know the rest of the story. How that God put him down for 7 years until he figured it out. You know, and God allowed him to figure it out too. When he came back, he gave an amazing testimony to the power of God to put down anyone that walks in pride. So God is able to appease all that walk in pride. Because now he figured it out. You know, but, you know, he did not give glory to God for all of his achievements. There was a man also called Herod in Acts chapter 12. You know, he was a king. And he had power. I mean, he had authority. And as a matter of fact, you know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 12, verse 21, on one day, I mean, he was there and he spoke and he gave what they call an oration. And it looked, I mean, it was incredible. And people said, my goodness. I mean, this man come out, he was arrayed in royal apparel. He sat on his throne. I mean, he strutted his stuff just like Nebuchadnezzar. And he did all these things. And he made an oration. I mean, it was a moving speech. I mean, he was quite a speaker. And the people gave a shout. They said, this is the voice of a God, not a man. And the man said, yeah, you said it. You can say it again. It is indeed the voice of a God and not of man. He's thinking that in his head. You know, he thought that, you know, all of that greatness, the power to speak and move the people, the power to rule over the people, the power to do all of these things, he thought it all came from himself. And God is going to show him. You know, I mean, it's amazing the things, sometimes swift retribution that used to come from the Lord in those days. But these days, through the grace and mercy of our God and our Savior, the Lord give people a long rope, so to speak, to pull. But because of that, their hearts are hardened. But the Bible says, you know, while he was reveling in the fact that everybody called him a God and that he spoke with a voice of thunder like God, you know, immediately the angel of the Lord struck him, you know, because he gave not God the glory. You can read that in Acts chapter 12 and verse 23. Because he did not give God the glory, the angel of the Lord smote him. And he was eaten up by worms and gave up the... Just, you know, picture that scene right there. I mean, here is a king in his regal, apparel and everything. His royal apparel, we're told, his throne, his crown and everything. And he's sitting and everything was so good and so wonderful. And he stood before the... Everybody probably bowed down to him too. And in 1 minute, he was like a king. I mean, over everybody. And he had his voice. And he was like the voice of a God, you know, and everything. The next minute, you know, he was just shriveled to nothing before the people. My goodness. You know, and everybody ran off, scattered. Fear fell upon everybody, I guarantee you. You know, and... people realize that, look, you know, you can't put yourself in the place of God, you know. Now, I want to let you know that some people, there are other people in the Bible that actually recognize that, you know, God's the great one. You know, let's listen to a prayer that David prayed in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I mean, he prayed this prayer that has become, you know, something, more of a legendary prayer these days. You know, David blessed the Lord, we're told in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10. Before all the congregation, David said, "Blessed be thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness." This one has become more of a legend. "Thine is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." Now, this is someone who knows where greatness comes from. "For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and anywhere else, for that matter. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord." Now, he knew it. "And thou art exalted as head above all." That's right. "Both riches and honor come from thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might." That's right. "Thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great." Now, greatness is from the Lord. He knew it. "And to give strength unto all." Hallelujah. "Now, therefore, O Lord our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name." Now, that's how you do it. That's how you give the glory to God. You tell the Lord that all the greatness, all the power, all the glory, all the victory, and all the majesty belongs to him. You tell him that riches and honor come from him. You tell him that he reigns over all. You tell him that it's in his hand to give power, to give might, not by your power or might, but his power and his might. It's in his hand because he reigns over all. It's in his hand to give strength. It is in his hand to make great. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord said, "Now this man, you know, is my guy. It's my kind of guy. A man after my own heart." And the Lord said, "I'm going to sit upon this man's throne, establish it forever." Because he knew how to ascribe greatness unto the Lord. Like the words of, Deuteronomy 32 that we read in verse 4, say, "Ascribe ye greatness unto our God." He knew it. He knew how to do it too. And the Lord said, yep, you know, the Lord was pleased with David because he knew how to do it. Now, Hannah, when she was praying, after, you know, you might know the story of Hannah. She was barren for a while and all of that. And she was praying about, you know, receiving a child and so forth. You know, finally, you know, the Lord answered her. And here is her prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2. "And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged now over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Now, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Now, listen to the advice that comes out of the mouth of Hannah here. "Talk no more so exceedingly proudly," like Nebuchadnezzar did, or like Herod or any of these people, you know. "Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth." Don't be strutting your stuff and saying, "Is this not the kingdom that I have built for the majesty of my glory and by the power of my might?" No. The Lord gave it to you. You know, say, the Lord God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Now, the bows of the mighty are broken, you know, and they, you know, stumbled. Those who stumbled are guarded with strength. You know, in other words, the Lord brings down the mighty. The Lord takes those who are stumbled and fell, raise them up with strength. He does all these things. He can lift up. He can put down. He can kill and he can make alive. He can do all of these things. And he said, look, those that were full, you know, they came to the point where they had nothing. They were even hiring themselves out for bread, you know. But on the other hand, they were hungry. Their hunger ceased and the Lord filled their hearts. So the Lord took the barren woman, made her to be a seven. And so on and so forth. The Lord killeth, he maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and he maketh rich. He bringeth low, you know, and he lifted up. He raised up the dust, I mean the poor from the dust of the earth. He can do all these things. You know, and he set out the beggar from the dunghill to set him among princes, to make him to inherit the throne of his glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, That's right. And he said, look, the Lord will keep the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. You know, no man by his strength or his might will prevail in anything. But when you understand that the Lord is the one that exalts the horn of his anointed, the Lord is the one that exalts in your head, then, you know, then the Lord will do even greater things for you. Well, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to read through a few verses there. And these are instructions that came from Moses to the people of Israel. You know, said, look, don't you ever forget it. You know, because they were prone, these people were prone to forget. And he said, look, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10. When thou hast eaten and you are full, then remember that you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he hath given you. I put it to you this way. For the good things that he hath filled your mouth with. You know, satisfied your mouth with good things. Well, okay. When you have experienced that satisfaction of in your mouth with good things from the Lord, then remember to bless the Lord your God. For it came from him, you know, and it was never by you. Beware, he said, that thou forget not the Lord thy God. You know, and you turn away from keeping his commandments. Turn away from his judgments or his statutes, which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten and full, and when your hands have achieved all these things, when you have gotten goods, goodly houses, when your business is expanding, when things are going well, your herds and your flocks are multiplying, and when all of these things are going well for you, when you have attained silver and gold and so forth, when you are prospering and multiplying, beware lest your heart be lifted up, he told them. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, you know, and so forth. And he began to tell them, he said, but thou, in verse 18, you know, if you think in your heart, let me read verse 17. If you think in your heart, you know, he said, look, if you should say in your heart, my power and my might and my hand has gotten me all this wealth. Remember, this lesson is, it's not by might, neither by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so Moses is warning them that lest you should say in your heart that my power and my might, or the might of my hand has gotten me these things. Be careful now. Instead of going in that direction and letting all those pride enter in your head, contrarywise, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It came from him. That's right. Don't you ever forget it. You know, he's the one that doing all these things for you in order to establish his good word upon you. And the Lord that's doing it. It's not of yourself. So don't you even think that you did anything. Psalms 44 and verse 3 says, you know, they got not the land in possession. You know, how? Not by their own power, not by their own might, but how they do it. Or the right hand of the Lord. He got it for them because he had a favor unto them. But people should forget. I mean, less people should forget. So we are reminding you today, whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that you can achieve, and there's a flip side of that, which I'll talk to in a minute. You know, it is not by might, it is not by power. See? They got not the land in possession by their own sword. Psalm 44 and verse 3. Neither did their own arm save them, but by their right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because you had a favor unto them. Now, the flip side of all of these warnings is that, look, when you are in your waiting season and it doesn't look like this one mountain, which the Lord said concerning Zerubbabel, he said, well, who art thou, great mountain? Everything else has been made a plain, but you seem to just stand in his way. Now, when you are yet waiting for that mountain to be leveled, whatever that mountain is, everybody has that one great mountain. You know, look, remember, it's not going to be by might, nor by power. That's right. So we're talking about, we're approaching this in two different ways. When you have gotten the victory, remember, it is the Lord. When you are waiting and it seems like your victory is not coming, then remember also that it will come not by your might and not by your power. It'll be by the Spirit of the living God. You know, that's how the Lord does it. And, you know, the Lord gave us many examples in the Bible. There's a story in Judges chapter 7. You can read the first 9 verses. The story of Gideon. How he was trying to get an army together. The Lord already told him that he's going to, you know, I mean, he's going to do great things and be a deliverer, you know, for the people, you know, and so forth. But so he's gathering an army together, right? So he's gathering an army. He's going to go against these Midianites and so forth. So what did Gideon do? Well, he gathered about 32,000 people together. And then the Lord looked at him and said, I tell you what, you know, these people, you know, are too many. That's right. Let's read the story. Now, Judges chapter 1 chapter 7 verse 1. Then Gideon, whose name was Jerubbaal, and all the people that were with him rose up early, you know, and they went, you know, and so forth. They were going against the Midianites. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Listen to this. Lest Israel vaunt themselves up against me and think that their hand has done this. Say, my own hand has saved me. So there are too many. You know, I don't want them to think they got the victory by their numbers. Now, therefore, go in and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. You know, and there remained, you know, there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So that's how we knew they were 32 to start with. 22,000 returned from that first proclamation, and there were only 10,000 left. And then the Lord looked at it and said, well, that's good. That's a good first step. But the people are still too many. You know, I mean, 10,000, they're too many. Now, remember, these people are going against hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions. But God said, no, they're too many. They will think that they achieved it by their own prowess and so on. So bring them down to the river, and I'm going to show you how to separate them. You know, those that lap with their hand and drink this way, and those that bend down to drink, separate them this way and that way. You may know the story. And so at the end of these separations, the Lord found 300 people. You know, 300 people. And the Lord said unto him in verse 7, the Lord said unto Gideon, by these 300 men, the lap will I save you and deliver the Midianites into their hand. Let all the other people go back to their house. 300. I mean, he started out with 32,000. Now he's down to 300. But the Lord is trying to show a point here. That look, it's not, you know, it's not by the strength, it's not by the numbers, it's not by any of these things. You know, it's not for the Lord to say by many or by few. In fact, the Lord, sometimes he prefers to do it by few so that people won't vaunt themselves up and say, you know, we did it by our own might. There's another story in 1 Samuel chapter 14. You know, this is the same kind of thing to tell you that, look, the Lord doesn't need large numbers. In this case, it's Jonathan going against the garrison of the Philippines. You know, and what did Jonathan say? Well, you know, Jonathan and his armor bearer are going to spy over against the Philistines. You know, and, you know, the armor bearer is saying, we can't go up against these people. There are too many. And all of that. You know, and so Jonathan said, look, come and let us go over to this garrison of the uncircumcised. Maybe the Lord will work for us. You know, as far as the Lord is concerned, he said, listen to this. In 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. It's all the same to the Lord. As a matter of fact, most of the time, he prefers to do it by the few. so that our hands, so that our mind will not say that our hands have gotten us the victory, you know. And listen to what Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 7. He says this to them in verses 7 and 8. He said, look, why do you think that the Lord chose you? And why do you think that the Lord set his love upon you? Is it because you are more in number than all the other people? He said, no. He said, as a matter of fact, you know, let me read it from verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord thy God hath chosen you to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. But why do you think he did that? He's going to tell it to them now. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you are more in number than any people. You know, as a matter of fact, you are the fewest of all people. You know, but the Lord chose you because the Lord loved you. You know, and because the Lord will keep the oath that he swore to your fathers. So has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the hand of bondmen and so forth. You know, so the lesson that Moses is telling them here is, look, remember that the Lord is the one that is doing it. Know therefore, he said in verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and so forth. Keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repair them that hate him to their face, and so on and so forth. So he's telling them that, look, the Lord did not choose you because you are the largest, or because you are the strongest. And God never does stuff like that. You know, in fact, he said he actually chose you because you are the smallest, but he loved you. Didn't matter to him whether you are small or great. He loved you, and the greatness is coming from him. He can take you when you are small, you know, and then make you great. Job chapter 8 and 7, you know, beginnings small, then the latter end, you know, shall greatly increase. And that's how the Lord, you know, that's how the Lord does it. The Lord says, you know, that, A small one, a little one, you know, shall become a small nation and so forth. You know, the Lord, he take one thing, you know, and he can make it bigger. He's the one that does these things. It's not in us to think that, oh, you know, we can do any of this. You remember, except the Lord build the house, you know, the labor in vain that build it, you know. And then the Lord said, well, let me put it to you this way. Except the Lord calls it great, you know, they labor in vain that try to make it great. That's what this lesson is about today. Unless the Lord calls it great. Now, if the Lord calls it great, then it is great. Now, if the Lord doesn't call it great, we can call it great all we want, but you know, God might not call it great. As a matter of fact, in the book of Luke 16 and verse 15, what does the Lord say about the things that we call great? I mean, the Lord looks upon the things that we call great with disdain, basically, are repulsive to him. You know, he said in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, he said, the things which are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination to the Lord. I mean, the greatness that we think, the titles, the accolades, the achievements, and all these things that are highly esteemed among men, you know, even in the kingdom of God, there's a lot of still, you know, high esteem based on position, based on title, based on all these things. The Lord looked at it and he said, no, all this stuff's an abomination. You know, I mean, that's abomination is, that's something that's repulsive to the Lord. But when the Lord calls it great, then it is truly great. You know, Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand. And a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Well, the Lord can take the little one and make it a thousand. The Lord can take a small thing and make it a strong nation. He can do it. You know, so I, the Lord, will do it in my time. You know, but, you know, let's not forget also that the Lord is the one that will teach you. He will teach you and give you the power to get wealth. That's what he says in Deuteronomy 8 and 18. But listen to how he says it also in Isaiah 48 and verse 17. So where you're waiting and saying, oh Lord, when will thou hear me? You said I will emerge and you said I will experience a quantum leap. When will these things be? And what shall be the sign that the Lord will do these things unto me? When you begin to say those things, then think again that the Lord is going to be the one to do it. It's not going to be by your strength. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord that teacheth you how to profit. That's right. I'm the one that's going to teach you how to become great. I'm actually the one that's going to make you great. I'm the one that's going to lead you in the way that you should go. The way that the Lord is taking you and leading you, that will lead you to that emerging, that will lead you to that quantum leap, that will lead you to greatness. It's all from the Lord. It's not from anything that we can do or have done or will do. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 12, you know, there are many things that the Lord, he was always trying to encourage the people, right? And there are some lessons that Jesus teaches, you know, that he wants us to understand, you know. So in this book of Luke chapter 12, I think verse 32 or so, he said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So when you think that you are little, that you are nothing, and so forth, the Lord said, don't worry about it. You know, the Lord knows how to give you the kingdom. The Lord knows how to bring greatness your way. Hallelujah. Now, let me say this to you this way. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, and remember, this lesson is about greatness is from the Lord, and it's not by our might or power, but by his spirit. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11 says, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. So it's not, look, I mean, that's actually contrary to common sense. I mean, you would think that the fastest person will always win the race. And you would think that the strongest person will always win the battle. But in the ways of the spirit, the goings of the spirit, well, the fastest may not always win the race. The strongest, looking naturally speaking, may not always win the battle. You know, there's something that God does, and the way that he does it, that it's only by him. You know, and here's how he says it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Let me read Psalm 127 to you again. I alluded to it, but I want to interpret it to you a different way. Psalm 127 and verses 1 and 2. Let's take this interpretation. And now this is the way it is written here in this psalm. You know, let me pull it up. Psalm 127 and verse 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wicked, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, only to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, let's interpret that a different way. Same thing, but just a different way. except the Lord call it great, they labor in vain that's trying to make it great. It's that simple. The Lord said, I will look upon it and I might blow upon it, you know. You just blow upon it and, you know, all the labor and so forth might come to vain. Nothing. Because we did not sanctify the glory of the Lord in the thing. And we were trying to do it by ourselves. And the Lord may just blow upon it, you know. And he said, look, you gather a lot, you know, but when I blew upon it, then it became as nothing, you know. But the Lord is the one that can make the little become a lot. But the Lord can also take a lot and make it become nothing. It all depends, just like Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord took what he thought was a lot and he made it nothing. And but it looks like he can also take what looks like is nothing initially and then make it something great. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 9 says, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. That's Haggai chapter 1 verse 9. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. All that labor and everything, it came to nothing because the person did not sanctify the glory of the Lord and the Spirit of God. And they thought they did it by themselves. So the Lord said, well, I blew upon it and it came to nothing. And why did he do that? Well, just like I said, because the people did not give glory to God. And it's like, you know, they earn money to put it in a bag of holes. Now, that's a serious waste. I mean, you make all that money, struggle, you go to work, you do all of these things, you get paid, and then you put it in a bag of holes. It means like you spend all that money on fixing problems and all of that, you know, and then the house, you know, just everything's just wasted. But let's do things right. Let's give the glory to God. He said, look, I'm going to take pleasure in the building of this house. I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Haggai chapter 1 verse 7. I'm going to take pleasure in it. I will be glorified in it. In fact, Jesus said, I will be the one building my church. The gates of hell should not be able to prevail against it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, my exhortation to us today is, look, whatever your struggle, whatever you're going through, the Lord can turn it around. But you must remember it's by the Spirit of the Lord, not by our own strength. Peter in Luke chapter 5 was out fishing with his friends. And these people were master fishermen. They knew the trade. They've been doing it for a long time. They were good at it, you know. But on this one night, they caught nothing. I mean, they'd been there all night long. And they knew the time to fish. You know, they were experts in that trade. And the Lord waited until they had caught nothing. And then he came there and then told them, do it again. I love that. Do it again. And Peter started at first to say, well, we've been here all night. We've done this and that and nothing worked. But the Lord said, well, this time I'm going to give you strategy. Hallelujah. The strategy is a key thing. It comes from the Lord. I call it the inspiration of the Almighty. My favorite, Job 32 and 8. Also, Psalms 32 and 8. You know, I will guide you. I will instruct you in the way that you should go. The Lord gave them strategy. Now, not that side of the boat. Now, these fishermen and the way this lake was and so forth, they knew how to go. And there's a certain way. They turn their boat in a certain direction and cast their net a certain way to get the fish. But the Lord said, no, you're going to do it this other way, not the way you normally do it. Put the net over on this side and then put it in for a great catch. Hallelujah. In 1 minute, the Lord turned that story of all night long toil that was nothing. It was futile. He turned it around into a tremendous blessing in 1 minute, you know. And in fact, they couldn't contain it. They had to call out to other ships to come. And this is what's going to happen. In the day, saith the Lord, that my hand begins to verify that which my mouth has spoken concerning you. That's right. I will cause an overflow, and you shall beckon to many, and they shall receive of the same blessing. That's right. That's exactly right. That came by prophecy. Now, that is what the Lord is going to do. The prophetic spirit just told you. And it's not going to be by what you can do for yourself. You know, you can practice all you want. How are you going to leap over a 25-story building or a 100-story building? It's good to practice. It's good to get in shape. But you can't do it. The Lord is the one that's going to do it. And let me give you the word of the Lord, another word of the Lord, and then I'll close with this. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, will a man rob God? And that's a question, you know, that, yeah, you know, we need to ask ourselves, will a man rob God? Well, you know, the last 2 days we talked about, you know, praising the Lord and all of that. Yeah. Will a man rob God? Yes, saith the Lord. Ye have stolen my praise and my glory, in that ye have not ascribed to me the glory due unto me. But as thought within your own heart, that thy hand, even thy power, and even by thyself, thou hast achieved or has done these things. Or you have looked to your own power to do or to achieve these things. But it is I, even I, said the Lord, that have blessed you. And I am the one, said the Lord, that can bring these things to pass. But now, behold, said the Lord, give all the glory back to me, that is due unto me, and keep back none for thyself. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, and I will not share my glory in that respect with anyone. Now, and if you will do that which is right according to the word of the Lord, which I speak unto you this day, then the Lord will open unto you the true windows of heaven, and he will open unto you his good treasure, and it will pour you a great blessing, and you shall know that greatness is from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the word of the Lord unto you today, this morning, and God bless all of you. So to summarize our lesson today, looking back over our achievements, let's know that it's the Lord. Facing your mountains, let's know that it's the Lord. Either which way, the ones that we have achieved, it's the Lord. The one that is so far seems to be, you know, unmovable, and we're looking at it, it's still the Lord that's going to do it. It may look like a great mountain at the moment. Now, what is your great mountain? What is it? You know, I'm going to pray over that great mountain today. And you will know that it is not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth. And we should will and we should run. But it is of God that showeth mercy. This story in Romans chapter 9 will bear it out. You know, when Rebekah was pregnant by Isaac, she was going to have twins. And there were twins in her womb. And the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord said to her, the elder will serve the younger. They have not done anything. They have not even been born. They're still in the womb. You know, so because that's the way the Lord walks. It's not of him that willeth. That's what he says. Romans chapter 9 and verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Because the Lord said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He chose Abraham on his own. Not because Abraham was trying to be great or anything. You know, and so forth. So then, according to Romans chapter 9 and verse 16. So then, it is not of him that willeth. It's not the one that's trying to be great. It's not the one that is running helter-skelter to be great. You know, but it is of God that showeth mercy. May the Lord show you mercy. May the Lord ascribe unto you the power and the Spirit of God to bring forth his greatness in you. And then you will turn around and ascribe unto him greatness, because it is from him. Father, I pray for everyone in this room today. Now, I want you to focus on what that great mountain is. I'm going to pray over it and against it today. That's right. Focus for just a few minutes. What is the great mountain? Just like that one that stood before Zerubbabel. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. I'm going to pray and believe with you right here in this room, in this moment. Yours may be something you've been waiting for. You know, and I love to say it this way. Well, soon and very soon, you will be singing, "See what the Lord has done. For that which we have waited for has come to pass." That's right. But I want to pray with you right now. If you are in here and there is that mountain that seems insurmountable, what is it? I want to let you know that it is not coming down by power or might, but it is coming down. That's right. The Lord said it's going to make it a plain. The Lord is bringing it down by his Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something. All I ask you to do is just say amen to this prayer. How are you going to do it? Just type it in the chat room. That's all. And what I'm going to release, by the grace of God, something here that's going to go forth for you and on your behalf. Now that you understand, you can't do it on your own. And now that you know how to give the glory to God for what he's already done and what is he yet to do. And remember, my famous, well, maybe now famous, and I hope now famous saying that God doesn't do anything or start anything until first he has finished the thing. Hopefully, we now understand that. Now, so while you're waiting, remember that God has already finished the thing that you think he has not even started. He's finished it already. And he will unveil it at the right time. That's an unveiling. That's all it is. All that God will ever do for you is an unveiling of what he has already done. For that which is yet to be has already been, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's already happened. In the realm of the spirit, it has happened already. So now I'm going to pray. And as I pray, and as I release this prayer, I want you to just say amen. That's all you need to do. Just put it in the chat room. And the Lord is going to bring that mountain down. By my spirit, saith the Lord. Remember, the Lord also said, don't try to steal my thunder. And don't try to steal my praise. Don't keep anything back for yourself. You know, I want it all. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Now, I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray together in this room right now. And for everyone that will agree with me in prayer to say amen, let it be that the Lord will move swiftly. Swiftly. Hallelujah. Swiftly, Lord, move for everyone in Jesus' name. And cause that, O Lord, which they are waiting for, bring it to pass. Now, that which you have spoken by your mouth, O God, over the lives of your children, your dear children, whom you love so dearly that you gave the life of your son. That which you have spoken by your mouth, that they will emerge and that they will experience a quantum leap this year. Now, Let the Lord's word, which he has spoken by his mouth, let it be verified by his hand in the lives of all of his children that are in this room and each one that types amen in the chat room in Jesus' name. Not many days hence. Hallelujah. Let the Lord begin to do great things in the lives of his people. Hallelujah. And if you can believe it, that's all he really wants. Praise God. Because it is done already. The Lord said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. It is done. And I say unto you also that it is done. Because not only is he Alpha and Omega, he's also Omega and Alpha. He finished it before he even started it. The Lamb was slain before the world even began. And everything that is yet to be has already been. Praise the Lord. Now therefore, O Lord, we rejoice in the victories of the Lord. We thank you and we magnify your holy name. Thank you for your blessings, which are now coming forth in the lives of your people. The greatness of the Lord that's coming into their lives, not by their own power, not by our own power, not by our own might, or by your spirit. Hallelujah. To God be the praise and to God be the glory. Thine, O Lord, glory to God, is the greatness. Thank you, Jesus. Thine is the power. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the majesty and the victory and the dominion. Everything that is in the heaven and in the earth and anywhere else is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, O Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power, not in our hand, O Lord. In thy hand is might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, we thank you, O Lord our God, and we praise your glorious name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.